thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
As I thought about this particular Sunday, about 2 weeks ago, God dropped something in my heart. And I knew it was a specific word for the congregation. And I knew it had to be given on this particular Sunday. So in our planning of the different ones that are teaching on Sunday morning, I said that this word I have that I'd like to bring, and then all of a sudden I got hit with this throat thing that was happening for 2 weeks now. But I was determined to be here. So if you're determined to listen, I will continue to be determined to bring the message to you, okay? We'll talk about that. When you think about New Year's, well, when we think about this year, and we just finished and we walked through 2015, which was our Jubilee year. And Jubilee, just celebrating 50 years of ministry. So we did a lot of reflection on the things that God has allowed us to participate in. The video, the short video that you show, just gave you some pictures of the activity. It's been a good year. But as we come to 2016, I think it's time to look ahead a little bit more. We've looked back, we thank God for it, and we believe we are positioning ourselves for a good 2016. Can you believe with me? A good 2016. And I'm going to share with you the reasons why it can be a good 2016, not just something that we say, but something that is important to us. So I want you to really pray with me a second, because I feel so passionate about this word that I really want you to soak it in. I really want you to get a hold of it. It's not a complicated thing to understand, but certainly it's going to take a lot of faith in your part in order to bring about. Okay, let's pray. Father, today as we focus now on the Word of God, I pray, oh God, that you open up our eyes of our understanding, you open up our ears that we might hear, and Lord, open up our hearts that we might receive the word that you're speaking to us. Lord, let us not take the position that it's for someone else. It's not for me. But Lord, let us all, with great excitement in our hearts, say, Lord, speak to me. I need to hear a word from you today. When you think about New Year's, you always think about New Year's resolutions. Well, let me tell you something about New Year's resolutions. For those of you who have made them already, this might not be the best news in the world. 45% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. 92% of the 45% fail. So 8% of the people carry through in one way or another with a New Year's resolution. And I thought about those resolutions, and why is it that we fail? And I say we because I've been in that category many times. What is it that in the beginnings we're somewhat stirred to write some things down, to make some commitments, but does it take long into the year when we realize that we've fallen off the wagon one way or another? What is it that causes that to happen? Well, I think rather than look at this new year and talk about resolutions, we have, by the leading of God's Spirit, believed that this year we needed to talk about some really foundational things to our faith. So we decided we want to start off this year with a series of messages that would be titled The Word of God. Just an emphasis on the Word of God for the next 6 weeks is the way we're going to present it. And the difference between a New Year's resolution and what we're going to talk about this is this right here, is that I'd rather base my life not on some resolution that I've come up with myself. I want to base my life on understanding the principles of God, that no matter what resolution I make, if I have the principles in place, it's going to work out for me. If I live my life in 2016, being led by God's word and being instructed by his word, 2016 will be far better than making New Year's resolutions that fail in the first few months. How many understand what I'm saying? So we're going to talk about some biblical principles. Biblical principles that are going to help us reach our goals, if you will, or our vision. So the title, I put kind of a subtitle on under this, is how to make your vision a reality. How to make your vision a reality. A vision is something like goals. It's something like looking into the future and saying, God, I really want to see this come about. Lord, I really want to see my life begin to be directed and maybe corrected in such a way that the outcome will be, Lord, I really want my marriage to be what you want it to be. Lord, I want my relationships with other human beings, period, to be one that's pleasing to you. I want to represent you. So whatever your goal might be or vision, how do you make it a reality? How do you assure yourself that what this vision is and you believe God's put it in your heart will come about? Well, let me say this first of all. If you're going to make your vision a reality, it will be determined on how much you value the Word of God. Number one, how much do you value the Word of God? If you're going to make your vision a reality, it's going to be because how much it becomes a key source of your thinking. The key source of your thinking. Then lastly, how much action you take and direction you follow because of the Word of God. Now, that's just from the onset as we begin to look at it this way. I thought of three things that I want to give you that's going to, at least where we can start out on the right foot when it comes to the vision that God has put in our heart. The first one is simply get up. Get up. Say it with me. Get up. In Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, I want to read Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, if you can follow along with me. The story comes, or the account comes, right after Peter and John have been in the upper room. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They're beginning to move out, and they begin to share Christ with as many people as they can, that he is the Messiah. It picks it up in verse 1. It says, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, which was the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up immediately, and his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Any vision that doesn't have an upward direction, a part to it, is going to fail. Any vision that doesn't have an upward direction is going to fail. And here's why. Any other vision or goal or resolution is self-directed. And anytime you direct something yourself without including God, it's going to be destroyed. It won't make it. You see, this whole gospel, the whole word of God is a message of elevation. From the very beginning, when man fell, what has God been doing? Trying to elevate man back to the position that God originally created him for. So you find the whole book is uplifting. It's encouraging. Yeah, it tells you the truth about life and how to handle it. It helps us make our decisions. It helps us lead our families. It should direct our decisions in business. But if you're going to have a vision to succeed, whether it be as a person, as a family, as a business, it has to have an upward direction to the vision. Now, what do I mean by an upward vision? You're including God. You're not just asking God to bless your business for your sake or so that you can increase. Now, you might have in your mind, if I'm a little bit more successful, we're going to be able to buy that house. There's nothing wrong with making the kind of decisions that are of our value to our family and to our lives, but it must include some upward direction to it. When you include the upward direction, God, I would love for you to prosper my business. I would love to sell 10 more houses. Lord, I'd like to have at least 20 more clients. Whatever it might be, the upward direction keeps you focused. It keeps your heart in check because you're saying, God, whatever does come in, first of all, I want to make sure the kingdom is involved in it. How many understand what I'm saying? So a vision has to have an upward direction to it. Peter and John, they just came from the upper room. They went up to the temple that day. Someone had carried this lame man, like they had carried this lame man, years and years probably have done this. And they placed him at the gate, beautiful, at that place. So someone carried him there daily. Let me say, see, people can only carry you so far. People can only carry you so far. They can bring you along the way. They can encourage you along the way. They can come alongside of you and strengthen you along the way. But people can only take you so far. God is the one who does the miracle. God's the one that will take you in to the promised land or into your inheritance. People can only take you so far. How many times do you think this lame man dreamed of having what others had? Watching them go by every day, all types of people. And I wonder how many, he would look at that person, oh, if I just had the things that he had, oh, I'll never be able to do it. Oh, that family that's going in. I'll never be able to have a family like that mom and dad and the two kids or whatever it might be. How many times did he dream? How many times did he think and ask the question, if I only had what they had? But he had resolved that he would never have those things. He was lame. There are some here that are lame. You might not be physically lame, but you're lame in other areas. Something has happened in your life and you feel as though you've come as far as you can come. Something happened in your marriage and you have given up. Maybe it's happened already where you feel it's too late. And as a result of it, you sit in a position of being lame. He was at the beautiful gate. The beautiful gate talks to me about opportunities that were right there. This beautiful gate he sat at, opportunities for him, but he could never move into those opportunities. He could never move into the beautiful things because he was lame. There are opportunities around us, folks, all the time. God provides opportunities for us, but if you're lame, and something has caused you to be lame, and you're just sitting in one position, you'll never move into those possibilities. Lame in what you think about yourself. Lame because of some fear that you have of the unknown or a fear of death. Maybe it's just a fear of, I don't want to make another mistake. I tried it before and I failed. I don't want to fail again. The result of it, you're lame. Lame because the enemy has somehow convinced you there's nothing good out there that you can have. That's for other folks. It's for more talented people. It's for better looking people. It's for thinner people. Whatever it is that has caused you to be lame, you're sitting in a position that if you don't get up, say get up. If you don't get up from there, nothing will happen in 2016. If you've accepted it as this is just the way it's going to be. Verse 4, Peter and John said, look at us. Notice what they said here. Silver and gold we don't have. We don't have those kind of things. And I believe Peter and John, if you were Peter and John, and you're looking at this lame man, and I've done it many times, and you begin, you realize you're going to reach out and touch that lame man. And John, Peter says, look at us. Look at us. He said, we don't have silver and gold, but we know where you are. We know somewhat about. We've failed in our life. We've made mistakes in our life. We spoke out of turn, Peter, in our lives. Our lives weren't the best. Our lives were a mess until Jesus stepped into our lives. We were in the same position. We might not have been physically lame, but we were lame. We were depressed. We were pushed down. We were hopeless. But we don't have any silver and gold because silver and gold is not going to help you. You getting a raise next year is not going to help you reach your goals or vision. No, it's not going to do it. Unless it's God-inspired, God-led, that's what's going to make it come true. So Peter and John are saying to this man, listen, we know where you're coming from. Maybe not exactly, but we don't have silver and gold. But what we have, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. We have Jesus. We're not special, but God. So the lame man, it says, expecting to receive something from them. What was he expecting? The norm. He was expecting alms, that's all. No more, no less. Some days he would have more in his pocket when he left at the end of the day. Other days he would have less. It just depended on the day. But he only was expecting the norm. If all you're expecting in 2016 is the norm, you're not going to grow in Christ. You've got to expect more. You've got to see that what you're asking for is not just not normal. It goes beyond that. You're looking for some miraculous thing to happen that is not just the norm. We need to expand our expectations. He took him by the right hand. He lifted him up immediately. His feet and ankles received strength. So he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. You know, the end result of this was God was getting glory. But I want you to see what was happening here. Here's this lame man who thought about, if I just had what they had, or if I just felt a little bit better, I would be able to go in this beautiful gate, and I would be able to experience all that these people are experiencing. Until that day, he could not do that. He wasn't even allowed to do that. But because Jesus touched his life, he was able to walk through that beautiful gate into the blessings of God, into the presence of God, into the temple of God. God wants to take you into his beauty, to the beautiful things of God. I'm praying for nothing less than, God, I want to move in my personal walk in through that gate into a new dimension of understanding of who you are. So the first thing you got to do, though, is you got to get up. If you don't get up, if you don't expect a miracle to heal you of your lameness so that you can at least get up, you're not going to go very far. The second part is to step up. Step up. It means this. Listen carefully to these meanings. Step up means to come forward. Step up and be counted. You've heard that. It means to increase, especially in stages. Step up production. It means to take on more responsibility. Let's step it up, someone might say to you. It also means to make progress. Step up to the plate. But all of the meaning of step up is to make a move in the direction that you feel as though you need to go. At least begin to move in that direction. Do something, here's what it means to me. Do something you haven't done before or tried. Look at 2016. I'm saying, don't forget, upward direction. Do something. So that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to climb all the 14,000 footers. That's my goal. Well, that might be a goal that you can have, but it better not be at the top. Because what needs to be at the top is, what can I do in my relationship with God? How can I move forward in my relationship with God? Which will result in a better relationship with everyone else you have in your life. So the upward direction has to be first. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. If you'll turn there, I want to look at a verse there. Beginning in verse 1. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud. You who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, and you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Barren. Situation was, there's this, God's relating to Israel as a whole, but he uses the analogy of a woman being barren and can't have any children. But the word to this woman is that she can still do something. She can still begin to operate in faith, even though she's been told she's barren. She knows that she's barren. The word was, no matter what your situation is or condition, you can still begin to enlarge. Enlarge your thinking. Enlarge your approach to life and begin to believe, because the very word enlarge, it's like it's a faith word. Lord, I want to enlarge in the kingdom. Barren means empty. You can use the word unfruitful. But barrenness does not intimidate God. Barrenness does not intimidate God. He tells us, Isaiah tells us in this verse, How to get a breakthrough. He said, how to break out of your barrenness, how to break out of having an unfruitful, unproductive season. Isaiah tells us how to move into a time when things are breaking out on the left and breaking out on the right, expanding. Notice the verse where it shows us how you can break out, how you can make your vision a reality, or how you can step up. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Say enlarge. Now put some body language in it. Enlarge. Come on. Body language. You know what that is. Ready? Enlarge. God wants you to stretch out your arms. Enlarge. Not shrink back. Not draw back. Not pull back. Nor stay the same, but step up, enlarge. Start believing. Start expecting God to enlarge you, because this is what he wants to do. If you're going to see your vision become a reality, you must begin to reject smallness. Reject smallness. You got to come out of the smallness mentality that it's either been self-produced or because of outsiders have made you like in a cocoon. It's just that you're bound up and lame with the smallness part of life. You got to come out of being robbed by the enemy of the blessings that God had for you. You have to stop listening to what others are saying about you or what you might be saying about yourself. If God is with us, all things are possible. You got to keep believing that. How many get tired of small talk? Small talk. You know, we can get in a situation, even as a believer, that's what we have going with God, small talk. Nice weather today, Lord, right? Yeah, I made it. I understand. You know, just small talk. God wants his people to begin to move in to a deeper relationship with him, a more intimate relationship with him, more of a relationship with him where God's voice is a reality to you, but not just his voice. You move at the commands of his voice. God wants to take us on. Tired of small talk. Now, here's another thing. You can't wait till everything is perfect to move on. If you wait for all the ducks to be in a row, you'll never move on. Because you see, the little things can take over your life. They can rob you. You're susceptible to all kinds of things. In a lame position, in a position of not getting up and stepping up and moving forward, that if you're not doing that, you're more vulnerable sitting where you are in your bondage. But the enemy just can walk over you every day, every day, every day. You don't want the enemy dictating how you're going to live your life. You want God to be there. When God is going to enlarge you, you can't stay in your comfort zone. Now, a lot of people get into a comfort zone. I mean, you know, when you get into bed, you get into that comfortable spot. Just that spot you need. The people in life, they get into a comfortable position, and that's not a very good position. In order to break barrenness, you're going to have to enlarge. Here's another word, stretch. It's used in the text. Stretch will take you out of your comfort zone. Stretching your life will stretch you to your borders where you begin to know God in a new way. I have a rubber band here. This rubber band is useless unless it's stretched. Really, it's useless unless it's stretched. So it has to be stretched. That's why it's a rubber band. So you want to stretch it. But I was just fooling at my desk with the rubber bands yesterday in study. And as I began to stretch this, I thought, oh, I get it. You see, first of all, God's not going to stretch you to where you're going to break. But when he does stretch you, here's what you're set up for, a launching. Did I get you? A launching. So God stretches you to, and guess what? The more you're stretched, the further you're going to go. You get that? The more you're stretched, so you think, well, man, I'm stretched now. I don't know how he possibly can make it. It's very possible you're doing a lot on your own, but God will just stretch you as far as you need to be stretched. He wants to launch you into something better. Always wants to launch us into something better. Another little phrase said here is strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. The stakes, I've pondered this for a long time. I love this verse. Matter of fact, when we opened this worship center, Jack Hayford preached out of that verse for this congregation. Not the same message, but that verse. But as we think about the stakes, I know what a stake is. I know what a tent looks like. It's using an analogy of a tent. So you want to enlarge your canvas. You want to stretch out those ropes. But if you do that, you're becoming larger. You also have got to drive the stakes down deeper. Because now you're the resistance. You see the winds and everything else, and all, you know, to hold it together, the stakes got to be down. What are the stakes in here? I'm convinced, in my own reading of this, is that the stakes is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. You've got to get your life deeper down into the Word of God. You won't be able to handle what God is going to take you into unless you get down into the Word of God. So the stakes to me are the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Listen to this, that the man of God may be what? Complete. God has yet to complete things in my life or in your life. God wants to complete these things, but the Word of God is given so that the process can continue to work, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. So you gotta do something. If your vision is going to become a reality, you got to get up, you got to step up, but you got to get more into the Word of God. The Word of God has to become more a part of your life. It has to be the very thing that's breath to you. Listen to this, more Word, more faith. Say it with me, more Word, more faith. That's based on a scripture in Romans. It says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there's faith comes through reading the Word of God, from studying the Word of God, for understanding it more, making it a bigger part of my life. You see, you're going to need faith to face and conquer the giants that are holding you back. And there are giants standing in front of so many people every day, just defiling the very God that you serve by standing there. They're standing between you and your inheritance, and we just crumble and allow them to do it. These giants. Why? Because we don't have the faith. If you're not into the Word of God, you don't have the faith to resist them. Matter of fact, I wonder how many times this giant who represents the enemy of our lives, of our soul, I wonder how many times he follows what happened in the scriptures. They simply laugh at many of us because what have we done? We haven't been in a word. We haven't been praying. We've just been kind of like a Christian that comes and goes. And when the enemy stands there, you don't have the weapon. You don't have the wherewithal to fight him. Because your strength comes from the Word of God. There are giants of fear. There are giants of procrastination that'll stand before you in 2016. There are giants that are holding you back because you've simply been lazy. Giants of the unknown, giants of discouragement. Giant, here's a big giant, I don't have time. And certainly a giant when it comes to your challenge to get into the Word of God. Joshua, in the book of Numbers, when the spies went over into the promised land and came back, and they were complaining. They said the giants are big. The walled cities were big. And do you know what it says? It says that the more they said this to the giants saw them as grasshoppers. And then they begin to see themselves as grasshoppers, small. Now, just something the giant can step on. See, that's what happened. You stay lame in that position. You're not into the Word of God, and you don't have the defenses or the offensive weapons available to you. You feel like a grasshopper. and the enemy will walk all over you. If you want to be a giant killer, you got to get into the Word of God. And every opportunity we're giving, Pastor Jason shared earlier, these Wednesdays at Faith. You know what's moving us to do this? There's a verse in the Bible, several of them, when Jesus departed from here, some of his very last words were this. He said, go make disciples. Not just converts, but disciples. There's a difference. You're a convert when you're born again, receive Christ. But if you don't move on to know him and follow him, and the only way you can do that is by getting into the Word, getting into a Bible study, getting into fellowship, which strengthens you. You see, disciples is something different. So this is like a discipleship night. But we could put all this together, and if you don't take advantage of it and you allow those giants to hold you back, you allow the cares of the world to hold you back, I'll tell you what's going to happen eventually. The enemy's going to come down and steal that seed out of your heart. You can't make it in this life. There are too many voices that are bidding for your attention. There's the voice of our culture. There's the voice of the media. There's all of this that are you're being flooded with. And if you're just flooded with what is being said from the culture, you have to look like this. You have to smell like this. You have to, in order to be, if you're listening to all that without something in your heart countering the Word of God, you will be succumbed by the things that you're hearing. Do you understand what I'm saying? It can happen. We need, there's a value in the Word of God. If you want to be a giant killer, here's one thing you can do. Wednesday nights, it's going to be offered beginning on January 20th. We have a Bible Institute. It's simply a commitment on your part to come and study the Bible for an hour. Have a subject that you're working on for the week, be able to take it home, allow the Holy Spirit just to work in you about that particular subject. I'll tell you, you're different at the end of that week. And then you go on to another subject. Then you're different at the end of that week. You're growing. You're learning. You're enlarging. You're expanding. The possibilities of you reaching your dreams and vision have gone up, multiplied and have gone up. But you have to do it. You have to say, listen, this year I'm going to do something different. I've allowed this giant to hold me back, but I'm going to intentionally sign up for a class. And there's so many other things we're going to talk about. But that's one very practical, easy thing that you can do. And here's the third thing. So you got to get up, you got to step up, and now you have to look up. You have to look up. In the book of Numbers, chapter 13, I'm going to paraphrase it rather than read it because it's a long chapter to get in everything I want to say. But it was Lot and Abraham. Lot and Abraham had come by the leading of God to the promised land that he was giving them. There came a conflict between the herdsmen because the herds were getting too big. Abraham recognized it. He went to Lot and he said, Lot, listen, you look and whatever looks good to you, whatever area of this land looks good to you, you can have it, then I'll take what's left. Lot looked up and he saw Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, oh, I like the activity down there. I like the excitement. I like the city life. I like what they're doing. So he chose something that I believe is self-directed and flesh-directed. He was moved by his fleshly desires to be in a place like that. When it was all done, Abraham gets before God. And as he's before God with the rest of the promised land, he was told to lift up your eyes from the place where you are. Listen to this. When he separated, lift up your eyes and look from where the place you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, I give you and your descendants. Now let me tell you the difference between Lot and Abraham. This might help you in formulating your vision. Lot's vision was self-directed, was out of the flesh. He saw with his eyes. Do you know what Abraham's vision was based on? The promise of God. God made a promise or his word, and Abraham remembered the promise, and he made a decision to look up and walk in the land that God had promised him. There's a big difference. You got to know, and it's from an upward direction that we had it. Abraham knew the promises of God. When you understand the promises of God, and let me tell you a way to approach this book. You need to approach this book like it's a window. And you're going to this window, and when you open up this word, you're going to see things through that window that you haven't seen before. God's going to allow you to look into the heavens. He's going to allow you to look into his ways in which he does things. He's going to allow you to see that what can happen by faith in someone's life. Yes, it is also going to, you're going to see the failures. But you see, everything you see through this window called the Word of God is something that maybe at that very moment, it's not the thing that helps you at that very moment. Sometimes it does. But when you hide this word in your heart and you're down the road a little bit and you're moving forward in 2016 and one of these giants come, you know what to do with them. When discouragement comes, you know what to do. When you lose a loved one, you know how to respond. You know the promises of God where that loved one is. You see, this window called the Word of God is the most valuable thing you have. And that we have been lured away. We have been deceived by the enemy. A majority of Christians don't even read it. And to start out and say, okay, all right, I heard the pastor today. I'm going to read the Bible this year. You're not going to make it. You need help. If you're just making that, you need help. You need a Bible study. You need a Sunday school class. You need a Bible class in the Institute. You need a Women of the Word group. Whatever, you need help. You need someone else to be there, and you're reading it together. Cheryl and I are starting something, our own book club this year. Yesterday we decided on the book. This is the book we chose. And our book club, we're going to do a chapter, and we're going to read it for the week, and then we're going to have a time every week, and we're going to discuss that chapter together. You need to keep doing this, folks.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.